But why? Why do you believe in God? What difference does Jesus make? Why are you Catholic? The Apostle Peter, writing as the first pope, tells us, beloved, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope, but do it with gentleness and reverence. I want to focus in on a particular moment in your life. And these moments are always ones which they're prompted by the Holy Spirit. They're moments in which the Holy Spirit within another person and within you is acting in that moment. And it's when someone asks you why. It's a moment some of you may dread. Others of you, it might be a moment that you've been praying for a long time. Someone in your family, and for them to come to you on their own and ask, why? Why do you believe in God? Truly, what difference does Jesus make? And why, of all things, are you Catholic? What are the reasons for your hope in these things? For all of us, we're called by Jesus to give witness to him, to the world. That Jesus himself, who is alive within us, we have been called to give witness to the world that does not know the Spirit of truth and has not seen him, but it is alive within us, so that through our giving witness, the Spirit of truth might become alive within them. To give witness to him and to always be ready. Because these moments that the Holy Spirit orchestrates, these opportunities, they can quickly pass us by. Where the answer that we wanted to give, it comes to us like an hour after the conversation happens. I went to graduate school in England, and it was the first time that I ever, in any real meaningful way, had to answer the question, why? I grew up in Hazleton, a town of 350 people. There were two sorts of people in Hazleton. There were the Catholics and there were the Lutherans. The Catholics went to St. Paul's Catholic Church, and one block over, the Lutherans went to St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And the one thing that you never did socially in a nice, uptight German-Russian town is you didn't talk about religion. We were all Christians. We all kind of had that same fabric within us. It was still there. It's different now. Went to college at a very Catholic college. Taught high school at St. Mary's in Bismarck for a year, middle school. And then I went to graduate school in England. And it was the first time I'd really encountered and became friends with people who, they had no faith. But even more than that, it was a time in which encountering many people who were very hostile to the faith as well. 2007, this was kind of the peak of the new atheist movement. It's like Richard Dawkins, his God Delusion book. And this was the campus that he was from. And so it was one in which oftentimes during my time there, you know, I'd get into all sorts of debates and arguments, which I secretly kind of enjoyed. And so I went one evening with my buddy Andrew, and we went to a pub to get some pints. And England, their pubs have the greatest names ever. The name of the pub is called the Eagle and Child. Across the street, there's the Lamb and Flag. Down around the way, there's like the Flying White Horse, the Snarled Tooth. They're just the best names. So we went to the Eagle and Child. We're getting a couple pints. And Andrew didn't have much of any faith. And we had debated about all kinds of stuff before. But he asked me something which completely actually took me off guard. Because if he would have just dived into a debate, I'd have been ready, you know. But he said, "Listen, why do you believe in all this? Like, why do you believe in all this, this Christian stuff, what we go on about? Why do you go to Mass on Sunday? Why do you believe it?" And everyone, I sort of bumbled through some stumbling answer. It may have been technically fine, but it was empty, it was hollow. And like later on that night, as I'm getting ready for bed, I'm like, "Ah, oh, I should have said this, or if I would have just explained this." But then it dawned on me, it's like none of it mattered, because that's not actually what he was searching for. I knew a lot about my faith, about Jesus up here. Oh, I had lots. I could tell you, go on and on. But that's not what he was actually looking for. He was looking for him. He was looking for the truth that is Jesus. And it was a realization, a humbling one. I knew Jesus up in my mind a lot. I didn't really know him. Not in the rest of my life. And it sent me off searching a little bit. There are those in your life who the Holy Spirit, he always brings people into your life intentionally. The people in your families, what God is doing, and he's acting through the Holy Spirit. And there are moments that the Holy Spirit orchestrates where people come to you not wanting to pick a fight or to argue, but where there's this openness and they're wanting to know why. And what is it that they're going to encounter? Who are they going to encounter when they come to you and ask genuinely, openly, why? Those are sacred moments that the Holy Spirit opens up. And they're the ones that Peter instructs us to be ready for. So it's worth pondering. Someone comes up to you today. Why do you believe in God? I guess I always just have. Why are you Catholic? I don't know. I mean, I was raised Catholic. They're seeking something more. And the Lord is seeking for you to give them something more too. What is the reason for your hope? And there is no one, everyone, there is no one who can come up with that answer for you. Many resources to dive deeper and to dive deeper into his word and in prayer, but there's no one who can come up with that answer for you. There is no book, there's no ChatGPT, there's no video you're going to watch which is going to give you the answer to why. What is the reason for your hope? Because it's not just something with it's not just something that's subjective within you. Well, for me, or I feel, it's also not something that's just coldly objective. Well, if you turn to paragraph 1128 of the Catechism, or if you look right here in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, it's not those two, but it's those two brought together in the person. It's the personal, where it's the truth alive within you. The truth that has become inscribed upon your hearts. The truth which is a person, and it's Jesus. Peter says, "Beloved, sanctify Christ in your hearts." Sanctify him in your hearts, that he is real and that he is alive within you, and that the truth and the reasons that they're real within you, that they're alive. People ask, especially when you're a young priest, all the time, why are you a priest? It's a great question. And especially when I was younger, you know, you got to dive into this vocation story, but it just recently, the last years, it was like, that's actually not the first thing people are looking for. And it's not actually putting the finger on the reason why. Why are you a priest? And the thing that I tell people now, which is the truth, but it's a truth that's real and alive, is because I finally came to a moment where I had the humility and the courage to ask Jesus in prayer, Lord, what do you want for me? What do you want in my life? And this is where he led me. Now from there you can unpack it into all kinds of stuff. Like one of the things being that prayer coming just a month or so after the humiliation with Andrew in the pub, which sent me searching and wanting to actually know him. St. Peter, when he writes in his letter, he's assuming that people will come to you and they'll ask because they see the life that you are living. That people in this world, there's a great sadness in their hearts and there's a searching. And they see something that is different in the way that you live, the way that you respond to things that happen, and they see within you, within the dark world, that there is a light of the Spirit in you. And they want to know, what is that unsettling hope that you carry throughout life, especially in the midst of trials? The early church, everyone, Christians, when people would look out in the world, Christians in one way were indistinguishable from others in the world in many ways. They weren't of a different race, they were the same race. They spoke the same language, same cities, and often worked the same jobs. But yet, there was something that was very different about them that others saw. They looked out at Christians and their families, and they saw that they lived marriage differently. They looked out and they saw that these Christians, when they have a deformed child that's born, they don't just leave them to exposure as everyone did. Leave them out to die. These Christians, they have a way in which they care for the sick. They looked and they saw the way that they loved those, even those who were persecuting them and hated them. And the Holy Spirit moved within them because they saw that and moved them to ask why. What are the reasons for the things that you do and the things that you believe? The Spirit of truth is moving within them, and it's what's alive in you, and it's what's moving and moves us to give witness to others, which is our calling as Christians. And what we'll be asked to stand before the Lord and give a reckoning for, to those who much has been given, much is expected, everyone. Faith is a gift, and the Lord has given you that gift of faith. And he's given it to you, not just for your salvation, but for the salvation of others as well. And also, and everyone, this is really important. It's to give witness to others, and in doing that, it strengthens your own faith. Do you want your faith to be strengthened? Do you want it to grow stronger? Share it with others. But it grows stronger, and it needs to be strengthened so that you might not be deceived by the wolves who will come in sheep's clothing. So that you know the truth, and that you know he, the person, Jesus, who is the truth, so that you will not be swept away easily by the lies. And that faith, instead, when you encounter those trials which will come, that it won't destroy your faith, but instead that faith will grow deeper in him, to endure trials and to give witness. I want to leave you with a note of grace. Edith Stein was an atheist Jew. She abandoned her faith at the age of 14, and she became a brilliant German philosopher in the early 20th century. She taught at a university in Germany in the 19-teens and 20s. She was one of the very first females in all of Germany to gain her PhD in philosophy. And in her mid-20s, when she was teaching there, a colleague of hers died tragically in the First World War. He was just 34 years old. And she was friends with his widow, Anna. And Anna herself had just recently converted to the faith. And so Edith writes that she went to visit Anna, and she was expecting to find her completely crushed by this grief, and to find her, as she would have expected herself to be, filled with self-pity. But she said that when she went, what she saw in Anna was a woman who was carrying an immense sorrow, also with a supernatural peace and hope. And that experience shook her deeply, because she couldn't just easily explain this away. Oh, well, she's just holding it. No, she knew Anna, and she recognized and encountered a hope and a peace within her. And she asked her, why? Why are you able to have that within you in a moment like this in the face of death? Anna did not give her some great sophisticated answer, but her answer came from a place of real faith that was being lived. And Edith later recalled, quote, "This was my first experience with the cross and the divine power it imparts to those who bear it with faith." 5 years later, Edith converted. She became a Carmelite nun, and she eventually gave witness to the faith of Jesus Christ as a martyr, Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Everyone, we are called by Jesus himself to give witness to him, to our faith, to answer why. And it is the Holy Spirit himself who empowers us and stirs our hearts to always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope, but to do it with gentleness and reverence.